This is 307 Net Info, connecting community. This is Kate Harness with 307 Net Info, and this afternoon I'm joined by Barry Crago. Hello, Barry. Nice to see you again.
Hey, Kate. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. So, Barry, you are about to leave the House and join the Senate, and I'm going to spend some time today talking about Amendment A, which is going to appear on the ballot. Well, it does appear on the ballot. It's early voting. You'll be able to vote on it right away. I'd like to just have you explain why there is this constitutional amendment known as Amendment A that voters are going to get the chance to cast their yay or nay vote on. Why has it come into effect? Why is it a proposition that's being put forward? And what would be the benefits of it? So it focuses on property tax. And essentially, my understanding is that it separates residential property tax into its own class, which is not something that has happened before. And that means that then residential property tax could be assessed at different values, and it gives the legislature a bit more flexibility. Is that correct? Am I getting the right idea here?
That's exactly right. That's the whole intent of Amendment A.
So why is it even come up as an issue?
So if we look back a couple years and we were dealing with all of the skyrocketing residential property taxes, one of the things we thought about doing as a legislature and as a state was separating residential property into its own class so that we could lower the assessment rate and, in effect, lower taxes on people's homes.
So you'd be able to take down the amount that individual homeowners are required to pay, but you would leave rates for different categories like industrial or agricultural or commercial or the energy industry, for example. And you haven't been able to do that before.
Correct. Right now it's lumped in with other types of properties, and there isn't a huge appetite, just to be honest, within the legislature to change all of these other types of property classes that are lumped together. Well, the main reason is they haven't experienced this huge skyrocketing tax problem that the rest of us homeowners have. And so we were trying to get to the root of the problem, which is residential properties. And I think that's the intent of the amendment, is to zero in, drill down, and let's get to the root of the problem, which is homeowners paying super high taxes and how can we help? And there's lots of different ideas, and we've done some of those, right? We've worked on it, but this is another tool, as I see it, that can be put in the toolbox that we can use. And that's why that's why I voted for it. That's why the majority of the legislature voted for it, is it gives us some options to address this problem going forward.
So maybe you're an attorney as well, which is a huge advantage. Maybe you would just explain exactly what the amendment would allow, their various constraints with it. Maybe you just take us through and explain that to somebody who may not read things in legal terms in the same way that you do.
Sure. So if you go look at Article 15, Section 11 of the Constitution, it has property divided currently into three groups, and those are minerals and mine products, industrial property, and then all other property, real and personal. Well, that includes residential. That includes agriculture. That includes commercial. That includes other types of properties that don't fit neatly into those categories. And so what the amendment does is create a fourth class of property that's added to that. It also allows the legislature to create a subclass of residential real property for owner-occupied primary residences. So possibly, if you live in your house, you would get a lower tax rate than if you have a rental house or something that you're renting out.
Or a second home, maybe.
Second home,
exactly. Or something.
And so it would allow us to even give even lower tax breaks to people who are living owner-occupied dwellings. And then what the amendment does is it essentially creates a tie to the rest of those properties. So you still couldn't, for example, lower residential to zero and in lieu of that go in and make commercial 100% or 50%. They're still all tied together within the Constitution so that everybody's treated somewhat fairly. But on the flip side, for example, right now, residential is taxed at 9.5%. That's the assessment rate. With this amendment, we can go down as low as 7.5%. And that would be a huge help. That's a 22.5% tax break for every single homeowner in Wyoming, which was something we tried to do last session. We weren't able to do that, and we were trying to do it through an exemption. This actually would just lower the taxes, and so there wouldn't be an exemption needed.
So if somebody was sitting there and thinking, well, what does this really mean for me and my property tax bill, it would probably take you down to somewhere like, you know, maybe a 2022 type tax bill as opposed to what you have been receiving recently, which is skyrocketed. I mean, the average, I believe, is somewhere around 23%, but many people have faced a much higher burden than that, and it's been a very difficult burden for them. And there has been a lot of heat and light in the legislature in getting that down. And do you feel that this would sufficiently relieve that?
I think it would help. I'm not sure it's the answer. I've said all along, and I've argued in favor of the amendment, it's another tool in our toolbox. And we should take advantage of every option we have to address this problem, because it's not going away, and we're going to have to continue to work on it. We're not going to one day wake up and say, oh, we passed this law and it's fixed the problem. Something we're going to have to continue working on for at least a while. And so that's why I was a proponent of this to begin with, and why I'm still a proponent of it, is it gives us an option to lower people's taxes and do it within the bounds of the Constitution.
So really, it's that it just takes out this residential property category and just gives you some more flexibility about how you can address the property tax that's levied on that category.
Correct.
Do you think there are any downsides to this?
Not really, and the reason I say that is creating its own separate class for residential doesn't mean we have to use it. So, for example, we can pass the constitutional amendment and the people of Wyoming can say, hey, we don't want you to lower the assessment rate. We'd rather you do such and such and lower our taxes this way. Creating the fourth class doesn't mean we have to use it. It's just another option that we have available to lower property taxes for our homeowners. And so I don't really see any downside in it.
Reading through the amendment as it's written there, it's not very specific. There are lots of things that, you know, you could question, well, would this building of mine fall into that or would it not? Do you think it needs to be tightened up?
I don't. And the reason I say that, that's not the kind of language you want in your constitution. You want the legislature to describe what residential real property is. And so we wouldn't do that if we go ahead and this passes and we're able to lower the assessment rate, we can describe that within the, you know, following legislation.
The amendment is on the ballot coming up any moment, 5th of November is general election day. What needs to happen for it to pass?
Just 50% of the people who vote need to vote for it. 50% plus one. It's just a simple majority.
Across the state.
Across the state, correct.
And when would it come into effect?
So it would go into effect immediately. The Constitution would be amended immediately, but it would still require legislative action for it to have any effect back home, because your house doesn't know and I don't know, you know, just sitting at home, whether you have your own class of property or not. So it would require legislation changing those assessment rates so that we could actually see lower taxes.
And that would then come in potentially in the next session, which is in the spring.
Correct.
A longer session than we had last year, which was just a short budget session. And I know that property tax has been on the minds of many legislators, and it was a big political issue in the primaries too. So you would expect something to come in, and then when would any changes in legislation actually begin to take impact?
Well, because of how our property tax system works, it would not be until the following year. So if this goes into effect now, it'd be after, you know, it'd be the following tax year which would be then, you know, 26.
But nonetheless, it would be something to look forward to. And there is does seem to be political will to across the board to reduce the burden of property tax on individual residential homeowners. And this is one mechanism for doing that.
Yeah. And what I would say is this was one of the ideas. This was fairly well received. I think a lot of us thought lowering the assessment rate was a good way to go because it's quick, it's easy, it's already set in statute. And so we just couldn't get it done without affecting all these other types of properties, which there was not a consensus to do, to be honest. And so this, again, what people wanted to do is get down to the real problem, which was the residential real property. This allows us to do that if it passes. And so I've seen a lot of stuff out there, Facebook, social media, et cetera, about people, saying don't vote for the amendment, and they're just going to, the legislature is just going to use it to raise taxes. And that's just not the intent. That's not what anybody had in mind. The whole point is to lower residential property taxes, which is the problem we were trying to fix.
And do you feel, we've seen changes in our political landscape recently. Do you feel that it would still have that intent behind it?
Yes, I do. I think everybody's still in the same, not everybody, the majority, the super majority probably are still in the mindset that we haven't finished our job on property taxes yet. We've done some things that help short term, but they're not going to help, long term, not all of them. We passed the cap bill. That will help long term. That will keep our property taxes from skyrocketing, but that doesn't help us going backwards. And that doesn't help some of these folks who, need some sort of reset on their property taxes. But this would help dramatically.
Are you aware of any other conversations that seem to be gaining traction for any other mechanisms that would lower the burden of property tax?
I think the only other thing I've heard is people, I've heard a couple legislators talk about bringing back Senate File 54, which was the 25% exemption. I think that's long term. I don't know how well that works because I don't know what happens when the legislature can no longer backfill the 25%, and then we're cutting schools, counties, special districts, everything by 25% right off the top. I don't know how that works out long term. Whereas this one, it's built into the Constitution. I think you can run into some constitutional issues on long term exemptions that aren't backfilled. And I don't know. Question, of course, then is how long can the legislature backfill? And I don't know that.
Of course, the purpose of the property tax is to provide the services and the infrastructure, the money for the infrastructure that we rely on and we commonly want to have. And they include, as you say, schools, roads, but law enforcement, etc. A bunch of us are the basic amenities that we expect to happen. Will there be enough money if with a lowering in property tax, whether it's through an amendment, a constitutional amendment, or in any other matter, will we still be able to provide the money that we need to those local services?
Well, and I think that depends on the county. Some counties will be fine with the lowering of the assessment rate to 7.5. I'm not sure all will. I think Campbell County, for example, it's 0.6% of their county revenue comes from residential. Ours is much higher in Johnson County, and there are counties where it's almost all of their
revenue. How do you feel that a county like Johnson County, let's focus on ourselves for a moment, how would we fare with any reduction in property tax?
Well, I think we'd have to tighten our belts, and all the districts would. And, I think one of the things for example, in Johnson County, not all of our special districts take their full mills. Right. So you might see some additional mills get levied. But other counties are maxed out. Their mills are used up. They have no additional, they have nowhere to go.
And that's just the happenstance of what your county comprises of.
That's right. Does your county happen to have minerals like we do, which is helpful, right? I mean, and that's why a lot of our special districts don't have to use their full mills. Now, some do because they need every dollar they can to operate, but some don't. And so I think that's, you know, and it depends. Every year is different too, right? And because of how our mineral production works, some years are better than others. But if oil's up and gas is up, then they all do better and they can levy less. If all those things are down, then they have to make up for that somehow. So I think it really is going to depend on which county you're in, and that's very local.
Our county has a much higher proportion of seniors and retired people than many other counties in the state, but also Wyoming itself has a proportionately higher number of seniors. Do you think this is a good thing or a bad thing for them?
Well, I think this is a good thing for them because it will allow them to pay less in property taxes. Now, that being said, hopefully many of them are going to qualify for the long-term homeowners exemption, which is actually more than this, and it's 50%.
Can it be stacked? It would be stacked on top of this. It would be both, wouldn't it? Because
yeah,
there'll be this constitutional amendment and then whatever the legislature brought in and acted upon that, plus any other benefit that you got for a reduction in your property tax.
So that is one advantage of the constitutional amendment over stacking exemptions, because generally the legislature has been hesitant to stack exemptions. This isn't an exemption. So the exemption, you know, the tax would come out and then the exemption would go on top of that. And so this could be stacked with your other exemptions. Whereas, for example, when we passed several different exemptions last year, those were not stackable.
Right. So if you're wondering about whether to vote for Amendment A, you've heard you've heard the outline of kind of what it actually does, what it might do to benefit you, and how long it will take. I guess, Barry, that you are encouraging people to vote for this.
I am. I'm asking people to vote for it to give us an option to help us, give us more flexibility to help lower their property taxes. Like I said, we don't have to use it. If someone else comes up with a better idea between now and session, by all means, we'll use it. But let's not, you know, not put a tool in our toolbox that can definitely help everybody in our county and everybody in the state that owns a house. That's really where I'm coming from, is I don't see any harm in this. It gives us another option, and without it, we may not come up with a better idea. And so that's really why I'm asking people to support the amendment.
Well, thank you very much for explaining this, and thank you for your time, and I wish you well with your endeavor.
Thank you, Kate. Thanks for the time.
This is 307 Net Info. Connecting community.